Easy.
Hold up.
Hi, everybody. I'm Stevie B. I'm a recovering alcoholic, member of the Golden Text Group in Dania, and also the West Side Men's Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. So good to be here with you guys tonight. Happy New Year. And I'm very excited. I'll tell you, not only to have the nice spoken in a couple weeks up here with you guys, and not only is it a new year, but I have Paul and Don sitting here in the front row, and Paul is for me, it's as close, because there's no big shots in AA. I just want to let you know, there's no big shots. I'm not putting them up on a pedestal. But having said that, since I'm 24 years old, I watched that man bring the steps to the 12-step house down in Fort Lauderdale. I grew up watching him do his shtick in Broward, and I sat there and I always wanted to do it. I said I always would love to do something like he was doing. I mean, there's only one Paul E., there's only one Stevie B., there's only one Bob that's going to be doing the next steps, there's only one Peter, there's only one Don. Everyone has their own way to do things. But I got to tell you, when I was watching him, and my mom knows, because the first time my mom and dad moved down here, I said, we got to go see this guy, Paulie, and I brought it to the 12-step house. I said, it's like a show. It's like a show within AA. And it really, if you haven't seen Paul do the steps, it's like a show. It's like a Broadway show, Alcoholics Anonymous, comedy, crying, Jewish shtick from New York. It's a whole plethora of things all put together. And as I was watching, as I was growing up in Alcoholics Anonymous, and believe me, I didn't think watching a speaker in AA was going to be cool. Okay, I didn't come out of Long Island and get involved with drugs and think, man, someday I'm going to be sitting in AA watching cool speakers. That never came to my head. But as my sponsor, Myron, brought me to the 12-step house on a Tuesday night and said, you got to see this guy. And he came in with his whole entourage of Jewish and Italian gangsters. I was attracted to what this man had, and Spike was one of his cronies, and Spike had his 3-year Narcotics Anonymous medallion on. But what it was just 3 bars. And Spike's like, if you want what I have, someday you could get it. You know, we all tried to talk like Paul. And here I am, and that's what's so cool is that really there's no big shots in here, okay? We all do it. We're all supposed to be doing it at the big book that we're talking about tonight. This is the program. The big book is the program, but we all have our own little way to do it. And I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you're young, and which is a bunch of you, and you're thinking, well, my life is over. It isn't. Your life starts now. My life started at 24 years old when I finally submitted. Now, I came in at 21, but my life started at 24. That's when I finally said, you know what? I've been beaten here. And my life started. And I see some friends here that believe the same thing. And I'm really excited to be here tonight, because tonight we're going to talk about, what are we going to talk about, you think? God, exactly. Tonight we're going to talk about God. Which really, according to our friend that just picked up 15 years, and you were saying that the program gave you your life back, it's really the program brought you to God, as you said, and then God gives us our life back. And for a lot of us, me especially, I want to just say is, God didn't just give me a life back, God gave me a life. Because my heroes were all the wrong heroes. I wanted to be a gangster, I wanted to be a Sopranos, I wanted to be Andrew Dice Clay, I wanted to be everything that was wrong about the world. And I was shooting for that. You know, on Sunday night in my house, and of course I'm dating myself, but some of you guys are going to get this. Hey, John, I'm dating myself. On Sunday night at my house, you didn't dare call the landline on my house on Sunday nights, because Sunday nights was the Sopranos. For me, that was like sacrilege. Like, if you would ever try to call my house on a Sunday night and disturb me during Sopranos, I was done with you. You know, I was done with you. I'm like, you have no respect. That's the way I used to speak. You got no respect. Because I thought that those guys were the greatest. You know, I wanted to be a wise guy. I wanted to be a gangster. Let me tell you, I come from half Jewish, half Italian people. We're not gangsters. I mean, as close as we got a gangster is the cannoli part. But we're not gangsters. But But I wanted to be a gangster. And I wanted to do sordid stuff. And I wanted to hang out at the Bada Bing. And I wanted to be that guy. And you know what that got me? Because I was 5 years clean. I was 5 years sober, wanting to be a gangster. And what you fix your mind on, you'll become. Now, I didn't become a gangster, but I became a wannabe. That, even worse is a wannabe gangster. So I became a wannabe gangster. And I started to some of the flunkies that not, because the guys that were following Paul weren't flunkies. The guys like Don, that's his closest friend that has the same amount of time or even more time than him. And a lot of his guys were doing great, but there was flunkies. There was flunkies that were following Paul, and those are the guys I gravitated to, the ones that weren't doing the deal, the ones that were just talking the deal. And those were guys that were, we were going to meetings on Friday nights, and then we're going to strip clubs afterwards. I started hanging out with flunkies, because water will seek its own level. And as God started to go out of my program, because there's really no room for God in strip clubs, God and the things I was doing. God's a gentleman, and I asked him to leave. So I started to ask God to leave, and then here I am. I'm following this group of guys, Spike and Paulie and these group of guys, but I'm not doing what they're saying. I'm doing my own program. I'm doing like the Chinese food program. I'm taking some of category A and some of category B, and I'm expecting it to work out. And it didn't. I started to edge God out. Ego became big. Started taking the juice, you know, started to become muscles. My chains would come out, and my Cavrici jeans were always perfectly pressed, and extra hair gel, and I started to push God out. God had no part in my program. I would give him 20 seconds in the morning, 20 seconds at night, and it became all about Stevie B and my sponsees and my car, and I make sure the car was washed. I make sure I park like, you know, illegally outside the 12-step house. Like, just think about what I just said. Have you ever been to the 12-step house? It's like the ghetto of Fort Lauderdale. And I want to make sure you saw my car in the ghetto of Fort Lauderdale. I wanted to impress our people. I wanted to impress other recovering addicts. That's how deluded I became. So when I finally believed that I could take a drink, not drugs, I knew that I couldn't take drugs. By the way, you didn't do any announcements tonight, Danny. Is there nothing going on in Alcoholics Anonymous? Do you have no announcements? When God gives you a gift, don't put it under a bushel basket. Is there not an announcement to be made?
It's 1 year.
Did you just celebrate 1 year?
Yeah.
Would you stand up and say that my name is Danny and I got 1 year? Come on, let's hear it. Come on. What do you got? What do you got? Don't announce anything about me. Announce something about AA. I'll do my own announcement.
Hey everyone, my name is Danny, and thanks to God, these steps, my sponsor, and you guys, man, I am experiencing remarkable things in my life, you know, meeting with family, friends, business, God, it's amazing.
All right, Danny. Ooh. Beautiful. Also, Shari is going to be celebrating this week. She's going to be celebrating 3 years this week. Shari. Beautiful. Yes, John. And also, Nicole. What was that, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years? Nicole, 6 years. Nicole J., 6 years this week. You can see the real alcoholics in January. It's in December, you got 3 people, and in January, you got 7,000 people. Because we all try to hold on. You know, we're all holding on until we're like, we can make it. And then we all just like skid into January. Congratulations, all the celebrants. I'm one of those celebrants, 16 years on January 3rd. I skidded into the New Year's. Thank you. So as I was pushing out God, and God is a gentleman, and he will allow us to crash and burn. He will allow us, hopefully, to bend our knees, but not enough to break our backs. Unfortunately, right now, at this time in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, there's a lot of breaking backs going on. Yesterday, I did another funeral to a great young man that came from a great family that was the personal caddy of Michael Jordan. that flies around the country, and Michael flies him to Las Vegas, and Michael flies him here. And he wasn't a jerk. I mean, he was a humble, great guy. You'd meet him. Did you know him, Drew? Did you know Jason K? He's a great guy. Just, you'd meet him, he was your height, and you'd meet him, he had just a beautiful smile and beautiful eyes and a beautiful heart. And he never talked about knowing Michael Jordan, because he was a humble person. But he forgot our primary purpose. What is it, 36, Paul? 34, how many years you have? Three more than Don. No wonder you were sitting there with a resentment. I was wondering, why is Paulie sitting there with a resentment? He's still holding on that I said that his friend Don has more time than him in the beginning. I was wondering why he hasn't smiled in like 15 minutes. 38 years. Why does Paul have 38 years? Because he has not forgotten his primary purpose. Our primary purpose cannot be us. If your primary purpose is you, if your primary purpose is self-promotion, you have lost your primary purpose. And we're going to talk about that in the 12th step next week. But I want to tell you that Jason lost his primary purpose. Great guy. You will never, like my mom said, he had a twinkle in his eyes. You walk into a room, he lit up the room with his smile, his heart. And at 33 years old, I'm doing a funeral at the 12 step house for his family. And they tell you, every one of you in here know four or five people this year or in the last 2 years that are gone. That's what we're up against. This is not a laughing matter. We're going to have some fun tonight. We're going to make, I don't know if we're going to make fun, but we're going to have some fun. But right now, we're in an age, we're in an era right now where this is not a laughing matter. You know why I asked Danny to get up? Because this is a man who's been given a year again. He's been given a new life. He's been released from the grips for today. And that's all we have, guys, is a 24-hour reprieve based on our spiritual condition. And if we don't forget that, then we're going to get 38 years and 36 years and 31 years. But it takes one day at a time. We don't need to get there in the future. All we have is today. So tonight we're going to talk about seeking God. And we're going to talk about asking him for the power. And a couple weeks ago someone said that I didn't do the step fully. And you know, whatever. We are doing the steps right now. Right now, we're seeking through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand him. Praying only for the knowledge of the power, praying only for the knowledge of God's will for us, of his will for us, and the power to carry it out. Right now, if you're paying attention and trying to pay attention as the committee in your head is asking you not to pay attention, you're already doing God's will. You're already working against that. Step 11 is not a step that we came to because we did step 10. Step 11 is a step that we come to because we're in the program. I've had many, many calls from Paul during my life to give me encouragement where he's been outside on his porch in the days he smoked. He said, I'm smoking a cigarette on the porch looking over the golf course and telling me a reading that he's reading to encourage me to seek God first thing in the morning. Let me tell you, if you're waiting till noon to seek God, you're many hours late. Seek him first in the morning. And last couple weeks or whenever it was, we talked about page 85, 86, 87, and 88. Page 85, 86, 87, and 88. If you don't have a meditation book, if you don't have a daily reading book, you do now. It's called The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it has page 85, 86, 87, and 88. And you really could be reading it every day. It speaks about on awakening. Let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Listen, right at this point, some of you are saying, if he talks about God one more time, it's too much. Let me ask you a question. Who do you want to be listening to? You want to go to God in the morning for your inspiration, or you want to go to you for your inspiration? The same you that told you to smoke stuff out of the back of a pool hall and drink bottles of vodka at 2 o'clock in the morning and then go driving. That's the brain that I don't want to listen to. Okay, my brain, I grew up in a great family. My grandfather pulled out the New York Times one time, it was the Daily Post or one of the Long Island newspapers, and he said, "Steve, I want to make sure you never do this drug. This drug, if you try it once, you'll become addicted." That brain told me to get the newspaper, go out to the corner and find out where I could purchase that drug right at that moment. I'm like, crack here. Anybody seen crack? Anybody seen crack? That's that same brain that I want to make sure never runs the show again. That's the brain that I want to make sure that checks away from me in the morning. My prayer in the morning is, please, Lord, don't let this guy take over. Because I've made some pretty bad plans at some times when I didn't need to make bad plans. So I want to check in with the creator of the universe in the morning. And it is a God of your own understanding. No, I'm not putting my God on you. I'm putting God on you. So I check in with him in the morning. And then thinking about our day ahead, we may face indecision. Which means we're going to have some things we need to make some decisions on. We are going to face indecision. We're people that like to get into bad relationships. As a whole, people in the 12-step programs, we have bad pickers. We like to get into bad relationships. We like to pick bad business decisions. We like to pick bad friendships. We like to pick bad romantic relationships. We like bad decisions. In fact, if there's four or five people that are healthy for us and one that's not healthy in a lineup, we'll pick the unhealthy person first. I don't know why that is. We got bad pickers. Remember one time Mason told me he's got the deal of the century for me. He told me he's got a deal of the century for me. This is a no-lose deal. I mean, he was the guy that was selling the stock. It was an insider trade. He said, don't use the word insider. But this thing is so insider trading, it's almost illegal. I bought the stock at like $2. It was supposed to go to 20. It was at 20 cents a week later. It has never recovered. It has been needling for the last 20 years at 22 cents, 20 cents, 18 cents. How could that deal go so wrong? I got a bad picker. I want to stay away from picking anything. Relationships, stocks, sports teams. I want to not be picking. What I want to do is be relying. I want to be seeking. We relax and we take it easy. We don't struggle. We're often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Fast forward a little bit. We usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially from freedom from self-will, and we are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. And I want to comment on this. People say to me all the time, well, I say, did you pray about it? And they say, well, in the 11th step, it says that we need to be careful about not praying for ourselves only. And I want to shed some light on this. My opinion, of course, only. Everything up here is my opinion only. But I want to shed some light on this. When it comes to the 11th step, you're not supposed to be praying for yourself only. But when it comes to general prayer, there's things that you should be praying for yourself. You could definitely pray for health for yourself. You could definitely pray for health for your family. You could pray for financial help for yourself. There's a lot of things you can be praying for yourself that is not selfish and is not self-centered, but is a talk between you and God. It'd be like my son coming up to me and he hasn't eaten for 2 days, but he asked me for something for the neighbor and he's starving. I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me you were starving? Well, I didn't want to be selfish. So you going to God asking for the things that you need, not that you want, is not selfish. We're only talking about it pertaining to the 11th step. Ask for help. God says, ask for help. God says, ask, be specific about the things that you want. I know a lot of you in here, you pray for the health of your families. If you think that's selfish, that's ridiculous. He asks you to talk, to have a running conversation. My dad's 85 years old. This is my dad here tonight, guys. Some of you know it, some of you don't. That's my mom and dad right there, Paul. Of course. I'm going to always acknowledge my mother, of course. My dad came into the program at 60 years old. He's 25 years sober now. And that's a long 25 years from 60 to 85. My dad talks to God all day long. He speaks to God all day long. He's having a running conversation with God all day long. And none of it is selfish. Because our Creator wants to bless us, but He also wants to have a relationship with us. So in the 11th step prayer, when it says that, please don't get confused, ask. We usually conclude this period of meditation with a prayer that we'd be shown all through the day that what our next step is to be. We especially ask for freedom from self-will. We are careful to make no requests for ourselves. We may ask for others, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. That's like, please, Lord, I need the lottery because I'm going to bless so many people with it. And you focus on it for weeks. That's not what you should be praying for. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. By the way, I want to just share something with you. Prayer works. Prayer is an amazing thing. Because how could it not? You're having a communication with the Creator of the universe. Of course it's going to work. People say prayer works like it's some, you know, astrophysicist and think, wow, really? Prayer works? You're sober, aren't you? We used to do narcotics and alcohol, and we used to do horrible things to our family. Then some of us said the simple little prayer, like, God help us, next day we're sober. Never take another drink again. I think prayer works. It is a pretty amazing, spectacular thing when you're aligned with the Creator of the universe. And some of your kids are sober. That's another amazing blessing. And some of your parents are sober. That's another amazing blessing. These are all gifts. These are all gifts. These are all gifts of the program. These are all gifts from God. Then it talks about doing prayer meditation with our wives or our husbands. And if we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not member of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. We come in here, a lot of us, with religious superiority. We think we know everything. Because some of us were dropping acid, we figured out all the ideas of the planet. You know, we got I read the Quran. I read the Talmud. I read the, you know, and what was it? We don't tell people we were high out of our mind when we did a lot of this reading and studying. I read the Bible when I was in prison. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different things that we have all this religious superiority. You know, we have all this religious superiority. There's people that are reading the Torah right now that are not addicted, and they're digesting it, and they can give it back to us because it's what they do. It's their gift. It's their calling. So be quick to see where religious people are right. And here's another thing I want to tell you about religious people. Don't get confused because religious people are not perfect. They were never meant to be perfect. They're religious people. You go to a doctor and sometimes the doctor makes mistakes. You go to a religious person and the person can make mistakes. They are not always hearing from God. But let me tell you, they do, a lot of religious people, you want to receive what you can from them. And I'm a person, my parents will tell you, I'm a person that loves being around religious people, all religious people. I mean, the major religions. I'm not, you know, big on some cultish religion. I'm not looking to drink any juice or anything like that. But I'm saying that I like to be around people that are one-on-one talking with God full time. I love it. We've had this conversation many times, Paul and I. I love being around religious people. I love being in this house of God. I love speaking in this house of God right now. I think that there's, for me, this step series has been incredible. To be in the house of God while speaking, I think there's a special blessing in that. There's a blessing in that. And I've been seeking that for a long time. I used to seek it in drugs. I used to seek it in alcohol. I used to get real wasted on spirits and think, oh, I'm having a spiritual experience. I'm a spiritual person. I'm a spiritual person. I used to go to spiritual raves and all that kind of stuff. That's not what they're referring to here. They're talking about that relationship with God, as you understand Him wherever you're at. The big book talks about in another place that wherever you're at with God, however inadequate, it's going to grow. It's going to grow. As you continue to stay sober and seek the right higher power, God, I don't even like to use that word, I like to use the word God. As you seek God, more things are going to be opened up for you. And as we go through the day, we pause. When agitated or doubtful, we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. This is a great line. It works. It really does. Does it work? It really does. Does it work? It really does. Let me tell you, you don't have to be a spiritual giant for it to work. I'm 30 days sober. I'm living in Liberty House. I'm living with Mason and Big Eddie, but he wasn't big back then. It was pre-bigness. And the three of us are living together in a recovery house, and I decide that I'm going to get high. I mean, I had 6.5 years. I decided I was going to be able to drink. So I went out and tried a drink, not controlled drinking. I didn't shoot for controlled drinking. I shot for having a drink. And what happens is this drink says, "Would you like to have another one?" Then you have to try to control it. That's where the controlled drinking comes in. So I go to have one drink, then I'm trying to control it. And a couple months later, I'm doing other stuff because I'm not a pure alcoholic. I'm a real alcoholic, but I'm not a pure alcoholic, which means I like other stuff. I like the indoors with alcohol. You know, for anybody that's a pure alcoholic in here, I love alcohol too. I'm an equal opportunity destroyer. And so I'm 6.5 years clean, and I get married. And I meet this beautiful wife. Her name is Sandra. And I think I love my wife, but I'm not in really a mess in the program anymore. So not alcohol, but a glass of wine would be nice. We go out to dinner. I like fine food, and I think wine goes nice with fine food. Margot, I know you agree. I like to drink fine wine with fine food, but I had never tried fine wine. So I didn't know much about fine wine. But in my mind, since I came in at 21 and now I was 30, I thought to myself, I think that I can have, you know, fine, you know, a nice glass, a nice bottle of 62 Pulifu, you know, with an incredible bouquet to it, you know, one of those things. So in my mind, I started to believe that I could drink fine wine. I could drink wine that you have to order from a special place and all kind of stuff. And I put it in my mind that I could drink fine wine. And during my honeymoon, I told you guys some of the story, but some of you guys are new. During the honeymoon, there was people in the next table that were drinking fine wine. And I saw that fine wine. And in my mind, I said, that's what I want to do. And I lasted another 2 years in AA, but in my seventh year, I went to the 12-step house. Myron gave me my seven-year medallion, and I went to go drink fine wine, and that experiment did not go very well, I want to tell you. So after drinking wine that wasn't that fine, it was in a cardboard box from Federal Highway, and then eventually going back to the other stuff, and then rolling myself up in a carpet and checking into treatment, I wind up in a place called Liberty House. And Jeff Weinstein comes in and he says, "Would you like to have a new life at my halfway house?" And I go to this halfway house. Not that I wanted to. I still saw myself as a mover and shaker, even though I was in paper slippers and a gown that didn't fit in the back. And I was on the psychiatric floor of the Fort Lauderdale Hospital. I still thought I had some moves to play there. I still thought I had some stuff going on. At any time, you know, the doctors would say, "You know, Mr. Boyarsky, we made a terrible mistake. We finally realized who you are. And you know, we we'd like you to run our company. You know, we'd like you to take this to the next level." I, at any time, I knew that was going to happen. But you know, instead, Jeff Weinstein comes in and invites me to move to his halfway house, and I go and I live in this halfway house, and I'm living there with Eddie and Mason, and about 30 days clean, I decide I'm going to get high. I'm going to get drunk. I'm not going to do a big blowout where I go on this big run and destroy more lives and destroy my family's life. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do a calculated run, because all junkies and all alcoholics believe that after they've gotten some time sober, they've amassed some power over the disease. That's the great obsession of every abnormal drinker, that we can drink like normal people. So I got about 30 days, and my sponsor, Jerry Bear, he tells me I need to be praying on my knees in the morning and asking God for the gift of sobriety. And at nighttime, I better be asking and thanking him. I better thank him. I better pray in the morning on my knees, and I better thank him at night. He gives me a very clear-cut set of directions. He's a tough Jewish guy from Manhattan. He doesn't play around. He's like, you're praying your knees in the morning, and you got to pray in your knees at nights. That's it. And so I get on my knees in that halfway house, and I pray, and I say to God, please keep me clean and sober. But as my knees came up at a 45-degree angle, I decided I was going to get drunk. Because right now, inside you and inside me is still bad whoever. Bad Cubby is still in there. You don't see Bad Cubby because Good Cubby has been doing a lot of meetings. And he's got on a jacket. And he's got on nice shoes. And he looks like Good Cubby. You think Bad Cubby's gone, but he's not. Bad Cubby's just waiting for him to make sure. When Good Cubby tells everyone else, I am really good, Bad Cubby's like, gotcha. So inside all of us is bad and good, and it's still in there, and I know that, and I don't play that, but back then I didn't know that. And Bad Steve was there, and when I got up off my knees praying, Bad Steve said, now it's on. And I called up my wife, and I tried to manipulate the story, and I got her to put money on a card for me, on a Visa card, on a cash card. I got her to put money on a cash card for me, $199. I gave her some slick alcoholic reasoning on why I needed to have $199. It was a Samsung i300, something like that. Drew, you probably remember. It was a brick phone. And I thought I got her. Even though she had a restraining order against me, I thought I got her. I'm like, I got this girl. And she gave me the money. But she didn't really give me the money. She was in a program called Al-Anon, and they set me up. And a bunch of wicked, evil sorcerers. And I rushed to this store called the Sprint store that I had never been in. And I was a AT&T guy, but the Sprint store was closer to the house. And I rushed to the Sprint store. And I said to the guy behind the counter, listen, man, I need to be out of here in 15 minutes. And I need the cheapest cell phone you got. And the guy behind the counter says to me, Stevie B, it's so good to see you. I saw you yesterday in Victory AA meeting, under 30 days. Welcome back. We missed you. That's an amazing story, isn't it? And that guy, he took me out and had a cup of coffee, and he was a guy in the program, a guy named Drew. And that guy's here today. He's sitting back there. 16 years later, he's sitting back there, that guy. And we it's an amazing blessing. And see, that day, that guy, he answered the call of God's plan in his life. That man, Drew, that we now work together in the same company helping people, that man, Drew, answered the call that day of his purpose. That guy said, Stevie B, and he saved my life that day. Now, if he wasn't doing his purpose, I don't know where I would be, because I know that he was an integral part, and he remained an integral part of my story. And to this day, my family and my wife were very, very grateful to him. But all he was doing was playing his part. He sought through prayer and meditation that day to improve his conscious contact. And he played his part in the play of recovery and saved my life that day. And Paul played his part in many of us, in thousands of our lives. He plays his part in helping to save our lives, because we only get to keep it by giving it away. But if we're selfishly thinking, lotto, 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 mega scratch off, lotto, lotto, mega scratch off, casino. Guess what happens? You don't notice the guy behind the counter that you saw in AA yesterday. You don't notice him. You don't take the time out to say, hey, I saw you yesterday in under 30 days, because you're thinking about you. Well, that day, and I don't even think Drew was very, very years sober, because we probably only have a couple years apart. What are you, about 18 years, Drew? So we have a couple years apart. So Drew's under 2 years sober, but he takes the time to say, I saw you yesterday, and to save this alcoholic's life. And then something in this alcoholic's life said, wow, this is unbelievable. There's a God that even when I don't even know God, I got up off my knees, I was going to get loaded, and you showed up anyway. And I put the two things together, and I come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity without even knowing that. The two things go together, and then my life changes. And then I stay sober 6, 7, 8 years. And then this girl that I can't even recognize, my friend John, who was my friend in the program, he brings over his daughter, and she has hair that completely is coming over her face. I don't know if you ever saw the Addams Family. There's a, like that one? Cousin It? Well, this girl, she has her hair all around her face, and all you can do is just see little eyes with like black mascara sticking out, this little hair. And he's like, and John says, "This is my daughter, Nikki. She's in St. Luke's Missions." He goes, and because Drew was seeking through prayer and meditation that day to do what God's will was for his life, and he said something to me, and 6.5 years later, when I was there, when Nikki was there, and then I said something to her, she sits there with 7 years? It's a 6-year month of January. I'm now business partners with her dad, John. She's one of my closest friends in life. One of the guys that I helped get sober turns out to, she marries him. They have sober babies popping out. And you can't make this up. You could try to orchestrate this and do you with your own puppet strings, and you know what you're going to get? You're going to get mess. Or you move out of the way and say, "You know what, God? God, let me tell you something, God. You saw me. Okay? I wanted to drink fine wine. I wound up with Mad Dog 2020. I was rolled up in a carpet. I was peeping out of windows for an entire year. You saw what fine wine did to a guy like me, God. So you know what? Today, January 7th, 9th? January 8th? You don't know and I don't know. Between the two of you, we can't even figure out what day it is. You know what, God? January 8th, 2018, I'm going to not try to take over that helm. I'm not going to try to take over me running my life, because me running my life was a mess. And if I asked you, how many of your lives became a mess, most of you are going to raise your hands. No, I'm not going to be up here telling you Paul's story, because you want to hear Paul's story. Listen to Paul's stories all over the internet, rocketed.org and everything. But let me tell you something. Paul almost didn't make it into the program. He was walking out of the program. He's like a serious Jew from Queens. And he went to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous when Narcotics Anonymous was first starting. And his friend from his neighborhood, from that neighborhood in Queens, was in a... Presbyterian chapel, and he was chairing the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and Paul was walking out and he wasn't going to come back, and he saw his friend that was a junkie from the same neighborhood, and that guy was chairing the meeting, and something happened. Those two guys met at the exact same time at that exact same place, and Paul figured out, if this junkie Jew from Queens could do it, I certainly could do it. And he stayed, and that's 38 years ago. So let me just go back to the step, because I messed it up. So I'm just going to read it this time because I'm just too excited to even say it. So let me tell him, when I say sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out, I want to ask you, what are you signing up for? I'm signing up for this supernatural, unbelievable, two people meeting, I'm signing up for that program. I'm signing up for like some girl that John introduces me to when we're just friends, becomes... We work in the same company. That's my partner. Now she's popping out sober babies with another sober guy. And I'm signing up for when my mom and dad travel around the country. They meet people all the time. Like my mom can have an outer body experience at Walmart. Because while she's in the checkout line, and most of us human beings, we're like trying to get through the fast checkout line. You know, we're upset that the person's taking too long. But my mom's never a human being. She's always looking for a supernatural experience. So when line takes too long, my mom stops and she says, "Who am I supposed to speak to in this line?" When the line gets crazy and the person in the 10 less category has 22 items, and we want to just be like, "Manager, that person has 22 items. That's a 10 checkout line." What my mom does is she seeks God and she says, "Okay, God, who am I supposed to speak to?" And you'll see my mom in the checkout line at Walmart holding a woman's hands, and the woman will be crying. And because my mom looks around to see who she's there supposed to be blessing when the line's not moving. Now, when you live that type of life, expecting amazing things to happen, when you live that type of life, you're going to have amazing things happen. I mean, if you want to sign up for just staying sober, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sign up for the Just Staying Sober program, you get that. There's people that just stay sober. But I'm not signing up for that. I'm signing up for the Life Beyond My Wildest Dreams program. And this is what has happened for me. It has happened. I've gotten so much. You said that you got so much more than you deserve, yes? I think anyone that knows about God is going to say the same thing. And if you look back over your 15 years and your 31 years and your 38 years or 30, whatever, 38, yes?
38,
36. There's so many God stories you can't even tell them. I mean, the people that know about what I'm talking about, they could come up here and start reading some of their journals. Back this, let me tell you, and we're all be, and we wouldn't even be tired because it's so exciting when you're in that. It's so exciting to hear the next incredible God story. But let me tell you, every one of us in here that are God's kids that call upon Him, that check in with Him in the morning, that read 85, 86, 87, 88, that are doing the deal, that are working the steps. We're all having God experiences, and it's filling up notebooks and notebooks and notebooks if you're right. Now that's a lot more than just staying sober, isn't it? And here's the problem. And I work in treatment, so but if we don't do that where I'm at. Here's the problem with all the thousands of treatment centers. Sometimes we settle with just wanting to get you sober. It's not enough. Because if we just pitch in getting sober, it's not going to be enough for you. Because you're used to doing crazy, outrageous, insane things. And you're going to think you're signing up for just boring. Who wants to do life on life's terms sober? I mean, we're going to do our life that we had before sober. That's going to suck. Because our life was sucky anyway, and that's why we poured a lot of stuff into it. So I don't want to sell you, well, you're going to get back your old life, but it's going to be sober. You're going to be like, eh. I didn't like my life high. I'm not going to like it sober. Well, the big book talks about a new life. That we were reborn. That for people that kept close to Him and performed His work well, all sorts of remarkable things are going to happen. Now, I signed up for remarkable. I was always looking for remarkable. I never went to the guy at the end of the corner and go, listen, I want the stuff that sucks. I want you to sell me your stuff that sucks. I want the stuff that's been stepped on so many times, it doesn't even resemble what I'm buying here. I always went to the guy and said, listen, I want remarkable. I want the stuff that has just been flown over yesterday. Well, let me tell you, that's what this program promises us. A life beyond our wildest dreams. We have this incredible prayer called the 11-step prayer, and it's not only to us in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a lot of different programs use the 11-step prayer. And I just want you to, and I know you've heard it, and some of the problems with our incredible prayers is that we say it ad nauseum in the meetings, and so it loses its power. Well, I want to ask you just to turn off your mind for a second. I want to ask you just to be present as I read the prayer. I wanted you to just be present in the presence of our Creator. And I want to say our Creator because we have the same Creator. You call Him what you call Him, and that's perfect, but we have the same Creator. And I want to ask you just to be present. And I want to ask you, what if we live the 11-step prayer in our lives? What if we live this prayer every day in our lives? Lord, make me a channel of Your peace. That where there's hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is discord, I may bring harmony. That where there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. That where there are shadows, I may bring light. That where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds, It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Is that powerful? It's not your best life now and how to achieve in 7 steps and who dies with the most money wins. None of that is the truth. This is the truth. And you knew it as I was reading it, that this is the truth. And the big book says the truth will set you free. And that is the truth. When it all boils down to it, I used to think my mom doing talking to the people at Walmart and having close talking relationships, pulled a woman across the counter and speaking to her 1 inch from her face. I used to be uncomfortable about it. I'm like, Mom, that's close talking. I saw that in Seinfeld. You're not supposed to be doing that. I realized that my mom is doing the only meaningful thing that this planet has to offer. She's making interpersonal love connections. She's making the person behind the counter. She's pouring love on that woman. She's pouring love on a little child. She's maybe changing that person's life. That's what that man did in my life. That's what we continue to do in Alcoholics Anonymous if we carry the 12th step that we're going to talk about next week. Don't waste this week. This is the only 2018 first week that you're ever going to have going into the second week. And I don't care about what New Year's resolution. You've already blown it. You didn't want to lust. You already blew it. You didn't want to overeat. You already blew it. You wanted to stop smoking. You already blew it. Most of you already blew it. I don't care about what New Year's resolution, because that's on your own power. I'm going to ask you to devote this week to trying to turn this over to God's power. And that's by checking in with page 85, 86, 87, and 88. God bless you. I'll see you guys next week.